Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And it's been an unprecedented 24 to 48 hours in the world of sports. Continues to be that way. And because of that, we're set up in an unprecedented sort of way here on the Steve Jones Show today. Steve is not going to be joining us today from the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. He is in the air as we speak, heading back from Indianapolis after the Big Ten announced today that it has canceled the rest of the men's basketball tournament due to the coronavirus concerns, and pretty much everybody and their brother has done some sort of postponement or cancellation. Here locally, the Patriot League has suspended, ended the women's basketball tournament for the rest of it, so there was supposed to be the semifinal game tonight between Bucknell and Holy Cross at Soika Pavilion. That will not be happening, and Bucknell is now declared the champ, and they will get the automatic bid from the Patriot League to the women's NCAA tournament if that is still going to be played. We still don't know that yet from the NCAA. So that is one thing that we'll be keeping an eye on there, but there will be no coming up here for Bucknell men's women's basketball. There will be no tournament coming up for or Patriot League tournament cut up for them. And the Patriot League also has announced the spring sports will be canceled for the rest of the academic year as well. So it's been an unprecedented day, as well as the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and now the Big East. They were the last to cancel the rest of their tournaments as well. So this is just going to be interesting to see what happens with the men's basketball tournament. And now Duke and Kansas have also withdrawn from the tournament, and they're suspending all sports indefinitely. So I would think that would lead to the inevitable of the men's and women's tournaments being postponed for now, but we'll see. We haven't heard any official word yet from the NCAA. And then, of course, what kind of started this whole madness, so to speak, was the NBA suspending its season for at least 2 weeks late last night after what happened at the Jazz-Thunder game last night as well. Of course, we have two players, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, who have tested positive for coronavirus. And for that reason, the game was pulled right before tip-off. Both teams were quarantined last night. Everybody else came out negative, but those two players for the Jazz turned out positive. NBA has suspended the season for at least 2 weeks. The NHL has now done so, and looks like Major League Baseball is heading into that right now. The deal with Major League Baseball is it looks like they're going to suspend or cancel the rest of the spring trading and then delay the start of the regular season for now. We're still waiting for official word from Major League Baseball. There's a lot of reports out there. Joel Sherman of the New York Post was the one to first report that. So a lot going on today. If we get anything new, I will definitely keep you up to date. But the way this is going to be working for the show today, since Steve is now currently in the air heading back from Indy, he'll be back tomorrow from the regular Sunbury Motors studio, and we will definitely get his perspective on everything that has happened over the past 24, 48 hours. We're going to be replaying some of our top interviews we've had over the last couple of weeks. And that starts with Mike Moose Musiala, who just had his jersey retired at Bucknell a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, he now plays for the Thunder, and he was involved in all that craziness last night with the Jazz and the coronavirus spread there. So Mike talked to Steve Jones a few weeks ago about how he felt getting his jersey retired.
When they told you about this, what ran through your mind?
It was a big honor. You know, Coach Davis called me after I got done with practice in Oklahoma City, probably a couple months ago, and I was shocked, and you know, just a lot of memories came flooding back. And we just landed in Harrisburg now, so I'm going to take the drive over soon. It'll be really great to be back on campus.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. This being the All-Star break, of course. You're sitting there in Minnesota, and when they came to your house to talk to you about going to Bucknell, what was that moment like? And in the end, what was the final decision like to say yes to Bucknell?
The final decision came when I went on my unofficial visit to Bucknell. That would have been August of, wow, it's a long time ago. But, you know, I went on campus and met with Coach Paulson, Coach Fisher, Coach Kelly, walked around, and, you know, it was new territory for me being in Pennsylvania. I don't think I'd ever been before. And campus was beautiful. You know, the sun was shining, and I just got such a good vibe from the coaching staff. And, you know, walking through Soika, you know, to me, kid growing up in Minnesota, I didn't even know if I would ever play in, you know, Division I basketball. That was always a dream. So for them to be interested in me and for them to give me a scholarship offer, it seemed like a no-brainer once I was on campus.
And then to get to the NCAA tournament the way you did, you know, Penn State's on the verge of doing that here. What was it like for you when you got there?
That was awesome. I think that's my favorite memory, basketball-wise, at Bucknell was sophomore year, winning the championship, Patriot League championship tournament at home, you know, in front of the fans, everyone storming the court. That was a really special moment, and something that I know, you know, me and my teammates, we all strive for that year, and that's something I definitely wanted to do while I was at Bucknell, so that was really fun.
When did you start dreaming about the possibility you could play in the pros? Was it as a kid, as a high school player, Bucknell, or actually when you started doing it?
Yeah, you know, as a kid, it was always a dream. And then I think there became a period where, you know, I thought, okay, this is pretty unlikely, you know, in middle school and early on in high school. And then even at Bucknell, I didn't really think about playing professionally in my first couple of years. I was just having a good time as a student and enjoying playing ball. And then it really kind of seemed like a possibility after my junior year when we played in NIT. And I went to an academy in Florida on Coach Paulson's recommendation for a couple of weeks to train with some guys who are doing NBA pre-draft workouts. And, you know, just hearing them talk about my game and kind of playing with them, I was like, you know, it seems like it could be a possibility. So that definitely motivated me a lot my senior year. And then kind of one thing led to another to getting drafted in 2013.
What did Dave Paulson mean to you?
A lot. Yeah, his attention to detail and the accountability that he brings to teams, to our teams, to me as a player. You know, when I look back, I'm really grateful for it, because we practiced with intent every day, and not only that from a basketball coach standpoint, but he had an appreciation and you know, a respect for the classroom. And I think, you know, you don't always see that in college sports, and that was something I wanted from my college experience, and that was invaluable.
Bucknell's a demanding academic school as well. What did it do to Mike Muscala? Because you had to make sure that you had an attention to detail both on and off the floor. What does that mean to you developing as a person along the way?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed that part about Bucknell. You know, a lot of interesting classes and professors that I had, and you know, I think being a Bucknell student athlete is special. And I had that feeling when they recruited me, and it held true when I was there for those 4 years. And when I look back on it now, you know, even senior year, once our season was over, I was, you know, training in Long Island for the draft, and I was still sending in tests. I was driving back on weekends to finish up in all my classes. And I think that's what makes Bucknell a special place.
All right, so now I want to get to the NBA part of it. I saw Tim Frazier last week when I was at Michigan State, because he went to the Michigan State game. And, of course, he's been able to keep his career alive with multiple stops in the NBA. What does it take for a player? Because, I mean, you've made, I think, what, four different NBA stops. There's been, we'll call it the G League. You had to make stops there as well. What has it taken for you to, quote, keep that career alive?
Definitely been fortunate. I think I've been lucky, for sure. I've gotten some good breaks. I think I try to stay grateful every day, every practice, every game, because you can change in an instant. But I've been fortunate to be in some really good organizations. I think getting drafted by the Hawks and being there with Coach Budenholzer my first several years with some great teammates, I think that was really, really a great place to land for me, you know. I think that was really important. And I think the things that I learned growing up in high school and even at Bucknell, just trying to be a good teammate, be respectful, and try to do your job.
So I got to ask you about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now, you're at the All-Star break, the number six seed spot. What has allowed this team, sans Russell Westbrook, been able to stay steady and keep going?
I think we have a good group of guys who compete every night and who are good people. And I truly believe that the group of guys that we have, I think when you – I know for me personally, I've enjoyed getting to know all of them, and I think we have this good sense of accountability within our team, and a willingness and a desire to play hard for each other and to commend each other, you know, when we do well out there, and to have each other's backs on defense. I think sometimes that culture can be hard to find in the NBA with guys moving around all the time, you know. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity this year with this team, because it feels special, and it's fun to be a part of.
What's it been like playing for Billy Donovan?
It's been great. He's a heck of a coach, heck of a person. He's so consistent, and I love playing for him. I know all the other guys do too. It's been a fun year so far, and this All-Star break is fun being back here on campus. I'm going to go to Atlanta for a couple of days, where I played for almost 5 years, see some friends, and then get right back to it.
Chris Paul hasn't tried to sell you any State Farm insurance, has he?
That's funny. No, he hasn't. No.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because he is averaging 17.5 a game. It's one thing about the late Skip Prosser. He played for Skip at Wake Forest. Man, did he love Chris Paul. What kind of leader is he, and what has he meant as a facilitator for the offense, especially guys like you and Steven Adams and so forth?
Yeah, he's a heck of a leader. I told a story a couple of days ago that Chris missed one game this year so far because of Kobe Bryant's death. He was just attending to personal matters in that sense, and I could really sense his absence, if you will, because his voice in the locker room, and his just attention to detail, and on the court as a player, his ball screen, his pick and roll game is, as a big man, like you said, me and Steven and Nerlens, to be able to play with that, it's a real treat. I obviously grew up watching him, and just the way he sees the game, and the way he's able to articulate it and speak about it, is really cool to be around.
I mean, heck, he's made Nerlens Noel a better offensive player. All right, with all due respect to Nerlens, okay, all due respect to him. One final shout-out on Bucknell. Have you thought about the emotion of going back on that court and looking around and drinking and soaking it in and maybe seeing some people you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it, and I'm sure it's going to be emotional. I'm excited to see a lot of guys that that I played with, and just to relive the memories. But it'll be first time in probably, you know, 11, 12 years me seeing a game in Soica. You know, I think it was on my official visit that I saw. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be fun just to be on campus with students around and just kind of pick up on that energy that was so good to me and so fun to be around for 4 years.
Mike, you're one of the reasons why people love sports, because you work, you do it the right way, you deserve to have your jersey retired, you deserve your NBA career, you've earned all of it. That's why people love sports, and that's why people think the world of you. Congratulations on a great, great honor, but it's also well-deserved.
Steve, thank you so much for those kind words. I always appreciate your support. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you, Mike. Very appreciated, because I know you just landed. Thanks so much. Best of luck to the Thunder the rest of the year, too.
Thank you so much.
And there you have it. That was Mike Moose Mescalo, who joined the Steve Jones Show earlier this month as he got his number 31 jersey retired at Bucknell a couple weeks ago. And, of course, Mike, of course, was there with Oklahoma City Thunder last night in the craziness with the Jazz. And this just in, the Major League Baseball has officially suspended spring training games and will delay the start of the regular season by at least 2 weeks. So we'll continue to keep you up to date on all the craziness with the coronavirus affecting the sports world. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in the next half hour of our show, as I mentioned before, Steve is in the air flying back from Indianapolis after the cancellation of the Big Ten tournament. We're playing some of our best interviews from the show last couple of weeks. Andrew Marchand joined us earlier this week from the New York Post talking Al Michaels, talking coronavirus, and much more. That is coming up in the next half hour right here on The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back into The Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you for today. It's a different, unprecedented kind of show following what's been really an unprecedented 24, 48 hours in the world of sports with this coronavirus outbreak and preparedness continuing really across the globe and, of course, across the sports world here today. Of the many things that have been either canceled or postponed or suspended, the Big Ten tournament for the men's basketball has been canceled. So Steve Jones is on his way back from Indianapolis. He is not going to be joining us today from the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. He will join us tomorrow from the regular Sunbury Motors studio to recap what has happened here in the NCAA, MLB, the NHL, the NBA, you name it. And this just coming down, the Boston Marathon has now been suspended. It has been postponed, it looks like, until at least the Labor Day weekend, September. It's the first time in over 124 years the Boston Marathon has been postponed or suspended. So that's just the latest of all the dominoes that just keep falling from this coronavirus, which started with the NBA suspending its season last night after what happened with the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder, with Donovan Mitchell and one other player being testing positive for the coronavirus. The game was pulled right before tip-off. NBA canceled or suspended its season, and now the MLB just came down with at least a 2-week suspension of its season. And spring training has been suspended as well. NHL is suspending its season currently. We'll actually get Jim Jackson's perspective tomorrow. Jim Jackson, of course, is the play-by-play man for the Flyers on NBC Sports Philly. Also, play-by-play man for the Phillies on the Phils Radio Network. So we'll be talking to him tomorrow at 3:35 to get his perspective from both sides of things when Steve is back with us in the Sunbury Motors studio tomorrow. And today's show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So because Steve is in the air right now, we're replaying some of our best interviews from throughout the last couple of weeks on the show. We just did Mike Muscala again when he joined Steve Jones a couple of weeks ago when he got his jersey retired by Bucknell. Now we're going to replay our earlier interview with Andrew Marchand from 2 days ago from the New York Post, talking Al Michaels and going to coronavirus concerns as well.
Here I am. I said thanks for the nice introduction, and I really do appreciate it.
You earned it through your great work. All right, so let's talk about Al Michaels. ESPN has been trying to hit home runs and hit grand slams with Tony Romo and Al Michaels. There'll be no Oswald the Lucky Rabbit this time. That's going to happen because NBC probably didn't even take a voice vote. It's not going to happen. So what does this tell you about what ESPN's trying to do to remedy what is obviously a problem on Monday night?
Well, they're thinking big, which you have to give them credit for. I mean, first off, they were willing to offer Tony Romo a 10-year, $140 million contract to do Monday Night Football, and they never got the chance because CBS gave them $180 million over 10 years to call the games with Jim Nantz on Sunday afternoons. So the next step was they're still trying to sign Peyton Manning for that job to be their main analyst on the games. They wanted to pair him with Al Michaels. At the moment, NBC is not even, you know, they're not going to talk about any sort of trade. Michaels has 2 years left on his contract, and so NBC would first have to give him permission. Al would have to want to do it. And then from there, there'd be compensation where you get the trade aspect of things. And so that's not happening. So they're thinking big and outside the box. But thus far, they haven't been able to remedy what they say is an issue.
Andrew, what's the read on Peyton Manning? Why has he, at this point, decided not to go into sports broadcasting as a commentator?
I think there's a few reasons. Number one is, you know, this is a different era than when guys like Terry Bradshaw got into broadcasting, where they made good money playing, but they didn't make the type of money that Peyton Manning earned as a player, where he made, you know, around $250 million. So they don't have he doesn't have a need to earn more money. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, Peyton's goal, from everyone you talk to around him, I haven't talked to him personally about this, but his goal has been to own a team or run a team, kind of like John Elway does in Denver. So going to the booth doesn't necessarily help that, you know, help his cause in that regard. And then number three, Eli Manning, his brother, has been playing in the league. Tom Brady's been a rival. I do think, especially with Eli, he had reservations about calling games that involved Eli, and maybe also just if you're analyzing other players who are going to play against Eli, that could cause issues for his brother. Now, Eli's retired, so perhaps that creates an opportunity for ESPN, but of course then you have to get to the dollar amount that makes it worth it for a guy who hasn't shown that he wants to do it. He's said no to every network thus far.
It's interesting you mentioned that about the money part. That is a key component, because my broadcast partner when I do Penn State football is Jack Ham, Terry's teammate with the Steelers. You know, and I roundabout I know about what Jack made, because we've talked about it before. So that is a really good point. It is a different era. They're making so much money now that it's not a leap financially for guys today. It's in fact except it's Tony Romo, it's a step back.
Exactly. And if you look at Bradshaw, I've never looked up his career earnings, but I'm sure it was, you know, significant. But still, like, if you want to live a certain lifestyle, you know, and Terry's case is he has a number of ex-wives as well, which you, yes, you know, perhaps goes into the equation. But the bottom line is that, yeah, the money is significant. And like a guy like Terry, and here's the thing also for Peyton Manning. He's still doing commercials. And so another thing that, you know, guys, in terms of monetarily speaking, that they want to be on TV is to continue to do commercials. You know, Peyton Manning's still present every Sunday all over the place, even though he's not playing and he's not in a booth. And but if you look at other people who are doing commercials, there's a lot of, like, you look at Terry, he's doing commercials. Howie Long, he was on that Fox pregame show with him, are doing commercials. Even Jay Glazer, who's just a reporter, does Subway commercials and others. And so that forum kind of keeps your name in the news. And Peyton hasn't needed that, at least thus far. So I think if ESPN maybe offered him enough money, he'd do it, because it's only 5 months a year and it's about 3 or 4 days a week. But I don't think his heart is fully into it.
You mentioned Tony Romo and the deal he made with CBS. And right now the CBA is being voted on, and we'll find out, you know, by midnight Saturday. At least that's when the voting ends, which then brings to the TV contract negotiations. What does this tell you, should tell everybody about CBS's commitment to live sports, that they made that kind of deal with Romo?
Well, that's why they did it. You see, the bigger issue is, you know, people see the $180 million, and obviously it's insane. But if you look at CBS Viacom, those are two companies that just merged. And network TV, it's been shown that you have to have the NFL to really survive, especially now with Netflix and all the streaming outlets. If you look going forward, what sells still on broadcast TV, and that's live sports. Out of the top 50 shows, nearly all of them are NFL games. So they, if you look at their company, that's lost a lot of market value. It was at $30 billion, and then yesterday after the run on the market, it was at $11 billion. They lost $19 billion in value. Their business is based on keeping the NFL. So, you know, they wanted to show the NFL that they are serious, number one. Number two is they have a Super Bowl at the end of this season, so it's not really the year you want to have. You're not in. You want your A team in that, for that game, and so so those are the reasons where this was unique circumstances. This is mid cycle. Let's say the agreements were for 8 years, and we were in year four, and Tony Romo's contract was up. Yeah, ESPN would be a stalking horse there, but I don't know if the money would have gotten nearly as high. Because Troy Aikman was the previous highest paid current analyst at around $7.5 million when you include his travel budget that he receives. And so with those numbers, you know, and then Tony gets 18 when you include everything per year, when you include everything involved in his contract, it's just, the reasoning is that because of the timing and CBS wanting to show the NFL it's serious. And the fact being that when they go to that table with the NFL, they want to have all their cards aligned as much as they can, and having Romo on their side, in their eyes, is an advantage.
And timing means everything in every phase of life, and it worked out perfectly for Romo. Now let's get to the CBA. If it were to pass, and we don't know if it will, but if it does pass, then the TV negotiations would be next. What, in your opinion, does the 17th game mean, in addition to the two playoff games, Andrew, when it comes to the negotiations TV-wise, and also what can it mean to streaming rights?
Well, number one, it's going to be more money, which is what this all is about, and I think, you know, that's what the owners are saying to the players in terms of, well, we had this game, now we're going to be able to sell 17 more games per year, which is an extra week, and they can divvy it up maybe in a creative way as well. So it's going to be more money. That's number one. Number two is, so how do they divvy it up? I do think the traditional way that Sunday is presented, I would tend to doubt that's changed too much. You know, could they, you know, right now you have Fox and CBS, and they have NBC at night on Sundays. Could they create a kind of late morning game at like 11 a.m. that's from, you know, from some of these off-site? That's possible, for sure, but that cuts into the pregame shows. I don't know if the networks would necessarily want that, and I'm not sure that totally makes sense. But that's something they could do. Now, so they could be creative, and we could see something switched up, but I don't think too much from what you see now with the Monday, Thursday, and then the resets of time slots on Sunday. And then you talk about streaming. So the one player that really could be involved, although I don't know if it will be as big a way as maybe some people might think, is Amazon. Netflix doesn't make sense. They're not advertising-based, and it just doesn't make sense. For Amazon, it probably makes the most sense, but still, the numbers that are going to be paid to have like an exclusive package, you know, will these digital players get streaming, you know, on top of the broadcast? Yes. But if I'm talking about like Amazon getting an exclusive package, which I don't think they will do, but you know, Amazon's play is that they want people to sign up for Prime so to get the free shipping and then, you know, all the services that come along with Prime. I don't know if spending billions with the NFL really helps them to that degree. I think the next time around, then that's where I think Amazon could be even more serious. That said, they have a lot of money and you can't totally count them out. But streaming rights will gain a footing, but broadcast TV and cable TV still, no matter what everyone thinks of what's going on with television, that's where they're going to win the day, and that's where the most money is going to come in.
Right, and it's all about inventory. I mean, as somebody who broadcasts Big Ten football and basketball, there's 9 Big Ten football conference games a year. There's 20 Big Ten conference basketball games a year. Both are increased inventory because for the leagues, conferences, I mean, that's the name of the game. How much inventory can I offer you, which opens the door to more money? Is that a fair way to put it?
It's 100% fair. It's like anything. If you were selling pizzas and you sold 16 pizzas, now you're selling 17. All right, well, you get another $15 for your pizza. So it's the same thing, and they're creating it. And the NFL also is incredible. They're the best, let's use the pizza analogy, of selling the fresh slice of pizza to one person and then selling it, you know, it half eaten to another person. They love divvying up, you know, you get rights to the broadcast, you get rights to the digital, you know, you get replay rights. They love divvying these things up 100 times, and that's why they're the most lucrative league in our country.
Okay, you can have an event by South by Southwest, and you can postpone it. You can have a concert postpone it, or like the latest James Bond movie is being moved back to a release in November. Sports with coronavirus, you can have the intermediate step. Now, the Ivy League has said no, they're not going to have their tournament, but I also noticed they didn't tell Yale not to go to the NCAAs. But they can have the intermediate step, which means you can play the games without people in the stands, like the SEC tournament did after the tornado in 2008. How close are you monitoring what conferences and what the NCAA wants to do based on what's happening across the country or even not happening across the country?
Yeah, like, I'm monitoring like everyone else. I don't have, you know, there was a conference call today with CBS, which I was on, and you know, they talked about it, and they're going to wait to see what CBS and Turner, they'll go by what the NCAA decides for the tournament. But I do think, I mean, again, this is just speculation, this isn't first-hand reporting, but I mean, I think that's where we're going. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that as you see these things trickle in, that at least in the near term for the conferences, championships, I'd be pretty surprised at the moment if you're going to see many with fans in it. Now, it depends by region. Now, I shouldn't say like it would be blanket, because I do believe it's probably by region and what's going on in certain regions. But the more you read about it and you understand it, again, I'm no expert. This is from reading stories that I've read, is that, you know, the biggest thing that I think people should understand. So it's not necessarily, I mean, obviously you want to stop it, but you really want to slow it down. So let's use a basketball analogy. By not having fans in, it's like having four corners in a basketball game, and that slows it down. So number one, you know, you prevent the risk, or you lessen the risk of your hospital being overflowed if you have an epidemic in a certain area, number one. And then number two, you give more time to find remedies for people who are, you know, especially older people or people with, you know, health issues, you know, over that come before they were to get the coronavirus. So you get those things. So I think that's what we are seeing, and I think you're going to see more of that. You know, it becomes a wave of people being cautious. And again, the more you read about it, I've heard this term a number of times. A bad plan early is better than a good plan late for something like this.
Right. Which, I mean, because I'm leaving for Indianapolis tomorrow for the Big Ten tournament. And there's been no talk of any change there yet. I would think the three regions you would look at for the NCAAs, because Penn State will be in the NCAAs as well. Yeah. I'd look at Sacramento, Spokane, and Albany as three that I think maybe a decision has to be made on based on what's happened in those regions of the country.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I don't see in Washington State right now that you're going to have fans there. I find that highly unlikely. New York, the state, has the most coronavirus cases now, I think, of any state. So, yes. And in New Rochelle, they're, you know, quarantining the town. So I think that I'd be surprised. I just don't, like, if you want to stop this thing, having 20,000 people converging is not the best. It's disappointing for everybody involved, especially like these cancellations, you know, on a local level for high school sports. You know, in where I live in Connecticut, there are already been some cancellations of basketball, you know, the state basketball tournament, which people are very upset about, understandably. I don't really, you know, to me, it's why don't, you know, you just have the games without fans and parents. That seems to me a pretty good solution that actually makes sense when you look at the science. But yeah, you're right. I don't think it'll be everywhere, but as we go forward, and depending on where things progress, I do think we're going to see more and more likelihood and, you know, where there's games that are played without fans.
An absolute pleasure. It was great to have you on the show. You are truly one of the best in the business when it comes to sports media and journalism, and I appreciate the time you gave us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Best of luck with all your travels and everything.
And that was Andrew Marchand from the New York Post joining us here on the Steve Jones Show earlier this week. You missed any of these interviews we're playing back, you can always check them out at stevejonesshow.com on the podcast page. So again, Steve Jones not here today. He is flying back from the Mobile Sunbury Motors Studio in Indianapolis since the Big Ten tournament was canceled due to coronavirus concerns. And he'll be back with us tomorrow from the Sunbury Motors Studio, and we'll kind of recap all the craziness that has occurred within the last 24 or 48 hours in the sports world. The MLB, just a little bit ago, officially canceling the rest of the spring training games, suspending the delay of the he's delaying the start of the regular season by at least 2 weeks. Boston Marathon postponed for a couple months, likely until the fall, probably around Labor Day weekend, it looks like. NHL has suspended its season. The National Lacrosse League has suspended its season. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And we'll continue to keep you up to date on all the latest information as it pertains to the sports world with the coronavirus. And also on the news side of things, if I could put my news hat on for a second, we have tons of information posted at WKOK.com, so you can check all that out as well. We'll continue the updates locally and nationally at our Twitter handle at WKOK1070 and on our Facebook page at NewsRadio 1070 WKOK. So coming up in the next half hour, we will be hearing from Bucknell head coach Trevor Woodruff when he joined the show a few weeks ago before the start of the Patriot League tournament. Of course, Bucknell will be the Patriot League champs by the fact that they won the regular season championship. So we'll get into that and more. Plus, Alex Peach and Bucknell punter will replay that interview too. All coming up on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see ya in a Kia.
Right, lease a 2020 Kia Forte LXS for just $99 a month for only 36 months. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $4,373 off on a 2020 Kia Optima LX, now just $2,262. And $4,271 off on a 2020 Kia Sportage LX SUV, now only $21,284. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease term 36 months, 12,000 miles per year. $5,000 total due at signing or equivalent trade. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.